Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hello and welcome to another wrap-up episode of Who Would Win Masters. I am Sam Proof on all the socials. Today we're taking a look back at Storm from the X-Men versus Dante from Devil May Cry. We're reading your five-star reviews, your episode comments, as you, the people, have voted. Because that is the freedoms we have. Ray, how's
wow.
it going?
How free are we, Sam Proof?
Yeah, free for the people to do what they want. All right. And for internets that apparently are holding together. Good. We made it this far. How's it going, Ray?
I'm having a blast. I'm not really sure what's happening over with you right now. What's going on with Sam Proof on all the socials? How are we feeling?
All right. I was feeling great until I tried to connect to the show today, and then my computer just didn't want to act right, or the internet didn't want to act right. But yeah, doing
that's
good.
That's a pretty common thing that we deal with on this show, but that's okay.
Yeah. To new and different versions of that issue.
Well, look, we're talking about Storm versus Dante with the Blurred Without Fear, Ernie Carruthers.
Yeah.
And this episode was quite the barn burner, and the people at home definitely felt the same way.
Yeah, it was a great episode. Ernie is fantastic.
He's excellent. He's never been on a Who Would Win property before, and I am thrilled for him to be on this time. People say he's the absolute strongest debater, strongest competitor we brought on so far for Who Would Win Masters. And who am I to disagree? I think that the new people that we're bringing on the show over this one and then the next few guests we have coming on, they're all brand new. Never been on a Who Would Win, one of our Who Would Win properties before. And I think the people are going to connect with them and we'll see what happens.
Definitely. I think there are some really good episodes coming up. So stick around, folks.
Yeah, stick around to that. Anyway, we got reviews to top the show, and we got two new reviews. I'm going to read them. Remember, if you want to go on, honestly, it's on Apple Podcasts. Maybe it's on other ones too, but I'm just not 100% sure how to find them. But if they're on Apple Podcasts and you write a five-star review, I will read it. There was a four-star review on there, which I was like, you're so close. You're so close to getting it. Five stars or I ignore you. Anyway, the first one is called C-Mac the Eternal Wanderer from Cade Likes Who Would Win. Thanks, Cade. I like Who Would Win. They say, I have just got back from Universe 57B8, where the Council of Rays. It has been decided ours is the most powerful and shall one day rule the universe. So I think they're riffing on the Council of Sams that we talked about last episode.
That's true.
I'm excited for it. There's also a Council of Rays, apparently, according to Cade. I don't know if I'd be comfortable living in that universe.
Yeah, I mean, where would you guys get shirts? That would just be chaos.
Like, it would just be limitless Hawaii everywhere.
It would just be a sea of colors as far as the eye can see.
And you know what? That makes for a better world. Back 100 years ago, this world was in black and white and color didn't exist. And I think that's crazy. How did people live?
Pretty much my screen right now is just black and white.
Don't worry about that. We're going to get you good internet, and we're going to get you a more top of the line computer at some point in the future. And you're going to stop having these issues. Anyway, go ahead and read the other review.
All right. The next one is I Have Ideas from Shard Alex. says one Warehouse 13 versus Five Nights at Freddy's, the Stitchwaith versus Lady Deathstrike. Also, same on anybody who. Wait, what is that? It also, same on anyone who gives disrespect to Deathstroke because he could easily beat them to a pulp. Also, please read this. All right, we've done that.
Well, it's we read it, Shard Alex. Alex, I'm so happy. Thank you for the 5-star review. I'm not sure what a Stitch Wraith is. Is that a Stitch Wraith and it was spelled wrong?
I don't know what
one Warehouse 13 means. I'm a little confused. I think these are internet. I think that these are internet like creepypasta references. I think, I truly do not know. And we don't disrespect Deathstroke here. Remember when we did our charity for the LA fires episode, I took Deathstroke against everyone from the Marvel universe. Whoa. So I'm not here to disrespect Deathstroke. I have great respect for the character.
All right. Yeah. I wanted to say Stitch Wraith, but then I corrected myself to what was written. Cause I read as written.
You know, I mean, look, we just cut and paste these. I don't know. Like I thank you all the people for the 5-star reviews. Please double check your spelling and that the thing says words that you mean for it to say. I actually had a bunch of these comments and whatnot, had to make cuts because I could not understand what the person was even trying to say with their sentences. So here's the deal. Thank you for all of it. You know, just take 5 seconds and edit yourself. Proofread. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Sam proofread. Because I'm going to have to read it out loud. And
Sam,
proofread
your work.
Yeah,
that's fine. That's fine.
All right.
Sam, we have the official Patreon fan vote.
Let's do it. So this was a very close one. And we had two really great debaters going head-to-head on this. The internet has spoken. And it's a close one. I think this may be the closest one we've had.
It's very close.
60% for Dante from Devil May Cry. So Ray continues his streak.
There it is.
And that is how I voted. The people have followed my lead. Thank you again for verifying that, I know what you want. But yeah, this was one of the closest ones we've seen show-wise and vote-wise.
Look, and we knew it would be. We knew that this was going to be a very close competition. Ernie brought the heat. I think, we'll read a lot of these comments, but people were commenting what a great job Ernie did as a debater. Like, this is a guy who has a YouTube channel that has like 100,000 subscribers to it, and he does comic book stuff, right? So this is a guy who knows his stuff, knows how to present it, and I didn't invite him on to have an easy time of it. I do feel like I won this battle, but I do feel like he handed me everything I could handle and then some.
Yeah, he came prepared. All right. Should we get into the comments?
Let's go. Why don't you go ahead and read the first one?
All right. First one from Max the Man 1001. I feel like I should be reading this with a lilt. 'Twas a significant battle. For me, the difference was durability. Both combatants could release devastating attacks and had special abilities to counter each other, but Dante can take some real punishment while Storm is a glass cannon, as stated by both debaters. Great debate. P.S. I will eventually send a demo on my boy, Cosmic Ghost Rider. Not regular Ghost Rider.
All right,
Cosmic
Max the
Ghost
Man.
Rider. Do it.
Here's the deal. I can't guarantee we'll use Cosmic Ghost Rider, but if you think you have what it takes, look, we are going to start booking a whole bunch of new battles very soon. I mean, we're always in the process of booking, and we do have a few entries still in the hopper that we have to sort of get through. We're sort of going through our first, the first ones that we got, and we're working through them, and we still have folks we got to get to. But that being said, anybody out there who thinks they can come and bring the heat against me, if you think you can do what Ernie did, I'm just saying, if you can't reach that level, probably send it anyway, because I do still want to hear from you. But send your 1-minute demo on any character you want to whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. We are going to be constantly in the look for new people to come on the show, for exciting people to come on the show, and for knowledgeable people to come on the show. And I want to see you there. So send the email, send the demo, and let's take a shot.
Who would you put pit against Ghost Rider?
Man, Ghost Rider's a real tough one. We've done Ghost Rider on the previous Who Would Win iteration against Santa Claus, where I think Ghost Rider absolutely won that battle, but the people said Santa Claus, and I don't agree with them. I don't think I ever won a battle against Santa Claus. I don't know what I got to do at this point. That's a tough nut to crack. But all that being said, a cosmic Ghost Rider seems really tough. I think you got to take one of those high-end DC characters, you know, maybe a Superman with the movie coming out. I don't know. I'd have to look and see how they tier out. I've got to do a little bit of research off the top of my head, but you got to get somebody tough to go against Cosmic Ghost Rider. That's for sure.
Sure. Darth Vader.
I'm going to go ahead and read the Darth Vader. I think Cosmic Ghost Rider smokes Darth Vader. Yeah.
All right. That's just go for it.
Anyway. Yeah. Even Cosmic Darth Vader. Is that a thing? It should be.
Should be.
I'm going to go ahead and read this. This is from Lord Snurts, who says, fantastic match. Ernie is the strongest new debater for Masters. Delvin is still the GOAT, but he's a veteran at this point. Yeah. I think Storm won the match. Ooh, okay, bold fire.
All right.
She is more than the master of weather and stronger than your typical glass cannon. She has faced numerous adversaries and come out on top. Dante is powerful, but he does have one weakness, known shippable. Now, I gotta. He says, Ray is a QA pro, which is correct. He's aware of this curse. Dante is ready to finish off Storm, and then he freezes in place. Nothing is working, and he has to reboot and reload the save. Battlefield removal makes Storm the clear winner. Now, I guess if you're going to be talking about a video game character, you got to look out for bugs and crashes, but you also then got to look out for mods, too, so you got to be careful.
Yeah, that's fair. Ernie didn't bring that into the debate, so I guess that was free sale.
Maybe for the best.
Next up, we got John Rocky Studney says, Dante, in some scenarios, well, most but Storm's no pushover. She manipulates the weather and the elements are risky. No, and the elements are mighty. Ask anyone who has been in an earthquake, tsunami, etc. Sure, I mean, Mother Nature's a hell of a, you know, a fight.
I'm not here to tell tsunami victims their business. No. I will go on the record as stating that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
we got
not
a couple
show.
Of short ones back to back here.
Yeah.
We did have quite a few comments. I sort of narrowed it down, a bunch of real short ones that kind of had the same sentiment. Andy Ballmer says Dante all day. Sam, yeah, you got the next short one.
D Wood says Dante wins hands down. Yeah, he doesn't even need his hands.
A lot
his
of
hands
comments
are down,
like
he wins.
That. Hands are down, and a lot of people had Dante winning. They didn't really explain why, but they definitely felt that Dante was the winner. Dante would be the winner, and they didn't have much to say beyond that. So I sort of truncated, instead of reading like 17 of those that just say Dante exclamation point or picture of Dante, you get the idea. There was I just wanted to point out there were more than just those two. But I liked a little bit more detail in my comments. So that's going to lead us to Billy Moore Morris, which is a great name. He says, I love Storm, but the only way she wins is she goes God mode fast. Even then, she's having a really tough time. Dante is faster, stronger, and a lot more durable. Dante doesn't stomp, but he doesn't have that hard of a time either. Wow.
Sure. Yeah. All right, moving on. It's a command and a name. Be Rich, I will, says Storm solos medium difficulty.
Yeah.
The Cosmic Storm is a god. She can do amazing things. The Storm from the comic books can challenge almost anyone. Fair enough.
And that's a fair thing. These comments really sort of reflect that I think generally the people agree Dante wins 60-40. That's what they voted. But also that there's a lot of love for Storm in here. And a lot of people do think Storm. I had one person in the comments being like, I can't believe, essentially in so many words, I can't believe you did this matchup. Dante would win with so little effort. Da, da, da. And I don't think that's the case. And I was repping Dante. And I don't think that's the case. I think Storm has plenty of tricks that she can mess with Dante about. I don't see this as a stomp, you know, high, medium difficulty for Dante. I think in this battle, I think a lot of people out there, for whatever reason, are underestimating Storm's capabilities. Lest we forget, you know, getting struck by lightning is a way to hurt Dante. So it's right there for her if she can pull it off.
Storm is like one of the top three X-Men, I would say. Like, you know, not just favoritism wise.
That's for sure.
You know, yeah. All right, moving on.
That's going to take us to Mikal Weisoglad, which has got lots of fun happening with his name. He says, Dante wins no diff. See, I disagree.
See, but
in his strongest, he fights 9D beings. I don't know what a 9D being is. Like, I don't, 4D is, 3D is like third dimension, 4D is right. time, 5D yeah. is smell-o-vision. I don't know. I don't know how what 9D is.
It's a dodecahedron of beings. Is that right? I guess it's whatever the it is Latin now. For nine is. All right. Shane Michael Potter says, if we're talking about current storm that became one with eternity, different story. I want to say there's still a lot storm could do, but if Dante gets close, it will definitely be a problem, especially if he decides to transform. Yeah. And I mean, I think that was brought in the episode. We're definitely closing that gap and getting face to face real quick.
Right. I think he would use, he'd have to use the devil trigger at a certain point. Although Carl Fulp says Dante wins and he does it without the devil trigger.
Wow.
Maybe that's that, you know, I think Storm gives him a harder time than that.
Yeah. I mean, I think in these matches, you're going all out, you know, unless it's no an one's holding back. Thing.
Nobody's.
That, yeah.
Yeah, but we're not picking like best friends to fight each other in this. These characters right, don't right. know each other, but they definitely can assess a threat, we have to yeah. assume.
All right. Anthony De Pasquale says, I would lean towards Storm because she's an Omega level mutant with energy production on the level of Thor and Wonder Woman.
See, I don't yeah, remember I mean, Wonder Woman having energy projection.
Right.
But Thor's got the lightning. I guess that makes sense. She is an Omega level mutant. So unlike Iceman, yeah. who is not. Yeah, she is a real Omega level mutant. You got to respect
for it. Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's for sure.
We got quite a few comments, you know, we're going to push through them. We got Mason Mello Simus. Seamus. Hi, Mason. Good to see you. Dante wins in most scenarios, 7 out of 10 times. Due to sheer speed, durability, and versatility in close combat. But Storm could win if she stays at range and nukes hard immediately. I think Mason nailed it right there.
I think that's accurate. Yeah, if she can keep him on the ground and she's in the air, then yeah, that's, you know, there's no beating that. But that's a tall ask,
she's going
right?
to be in a pretty good place at that point.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Dante's not going to let her do that.
Yeah. I mean, if you're flying, he's getting up there.
Yeah, he's finding a way up there, and he will be shooting and sorting you.
I don't like using that as a verb. Sorting, that doesn't feel good.
Did I make you uncomfortable?
Yeah, a little bit. Kieran Lochran says, I would go with Storm. She controls the weather. She flies, and she's pretty good at close combat. But is she Dante good at close combat?
Storm fan in the house. I don't think so. I mean, I'm not saying that she's some pushover in close combat, but he's got demon blood inside him.
Right.
That's just not, he's not going to mess around with that. He does mess around. I'm not going to say that, but as far as, you know, the concentration goes and everything, I feel like Dante's got it there. But Paul Grossenbacher looks, he says Storm wins, seeing as she's literally killing gods in the comics currently, which I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I haven't read any current Storm comics. My knowledge base is a little older than that.
I'm curious what gods were killing at this point. We'll have to check that out.
What gods are left in the Marvel Universe? You got Thor, you've got Loki, Odin, and that whole crew. But are there other? I mean, there are. But you know, what gods is she killing? People at home, I want to know. Comment, hit me up on Threads at Almighty Ray 316 and let me know which god Storm is killing in the comics. That's new information. And the thing is, I trust Ernie and his research. I feel like he would have brought that up if it was happening.
Yeah, so
maybe we're having a loose interpretation as to what gods are in this context, I guess.
Maybe. Yeah, tag Sam Proof on that Threads comment. All right, Cam Sully says Storm can take on any supernatural force because she'll always have an answer for it. Because, you know, she is.
That's true. Cam Sully is one of the people I'll say right now. Yeah, she has the mutant powers and stuff, but Cam Sully is one of the folks that we have an email for. He wants to come on and debate me. And, you know, he really, I love that. I think Cam Sully has been a fan of the Who Would Win property for quite a while. He's gotten involved in the show. He comments a lot. He gets active on social media with the show, which what more could we ask for? So Cam, you know, we have your send in right now. We don't have anything on the books as of this moment. We have a few other people we're getting through first, but we definitely have you in mind for a future episode. So don't stress it. This is a longer process. We're only making so many of these at a time. So, but keep in mind, Cam Sully, you're on notice. I'm coming for you at some point. So we got our last two right here. Ken Bjorn Turner. Hi, Ken. Bjorn the Viking. This is off of Patreon. You can always go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and leave your comments there. We will be guaranteed not to miss them if you do that. You're definitely getting on. I can't miss it when you do that. Anyway, first, great debating on both parts. Well, thanks, Ken Turner. I think so. Been a while since I've seen Ray on the ropes, and he came back swinging hard. Storm can whip up a tornado and lightning, but Dante is just going to unleash a barrage of ballistic death all over. Storm's winds may throw some off trajectory, but Dante would learn to compensate for the winds and then hit Storm, breaking her concentration. And once that is broken, he just reloads and makes Swiss cheese with his guns or shish kebab with his sword. Ken, I wasn't hungry before I read this, but now I'm craving Mediterranean steak.
Well, that sounds really good, actually.
I had it earlier this week. I actually went out to a restaurant. I went out to a restaurant and I ordered shish kebab, and I was very glad that I did. I highly recommend it to folks at home. It's known for a reason.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, I really miss Daphne's. I don't know if that chain exists in any form whatsoever, but they closed all the ones that were in the valley. Sad, sad.
They did, but there are other Greek restaurants that have the same iconography. But you're right, sure. Daphne's was a cut above.
Yeah.
Didn't they have my big fat Greek restaurant at the Burbank Town Center for a period of time?
Maybe. I don't go to Burbank much. All right.
This is an outrage. Burbank is delightful, sir.
It's all the way over there. It's at least 15 minutes away.
It is at least 15 minutes away. That's true.
Forbidden Mob says, 10 out of 10 episode, the closest debate yet. My money was on Dante. Yes, he won, but I gotta say, I loved learning more about Storm. I never knew she could read what you're doing next by your body's electrical current. A really smart move against someone so fast who can switch his fighting style on the fly. Speaking of which, his demon form and variety of forms, !! That was it. Okay. It's like fighting Morph, Magic, Shatterstar, and more rolled into one. He can handle the winds, ice, and lightning with his speed and fight IQ. Once he gets up close, it's over. Well done, gentlemen. Ernie was amazing. Your research really showed in the fight. Ray, way to hold on to the strap. Champ, congrats. Yeah, I mean, that summed up the entire episode in so many ways. And yeah, this was great.
I saved those last two comments for the very end because I thought those two perfectly encapsulated my feelings on the episode as well. I haven't been pushed the way Ernie pushed me so far on the show. And Ernie brought up some real good facts, some real good knowledge, and his presentation was explosive. So I definitely, you could see it on the show, I think. I got a little nervous. Is this the first time I'm going to be defeated? And I feel I did do enough to win, but it was real close.
It was really close. And I think this was one of those shows that came down to counterpoints to make the point, you know, to make the win. And it was closing that, you know, distance in when Storm's flying, being able to, you know, get right up there and, you know, breaking through a lot of those, wind and electricity powers and stuff like that, you know. But yeah, there was so much in that episode. And again, Ernie did do an amazing job. He is very well versed in Storm and just doing his research as well. So congrats to both of you.
Yeah, and I'll take even a second here to say, if you have not already, go subscribe and follow The Blurred Without Fear, both on Threads and on YouTube. That's basically the two places where you're going to find him the most. He does a phenomenal job. He gets into some kinds of good trouble. He has a lot of very strong comic book opinions. That's what drew me to his channel in the first place, his Threads persona. And I didn't see one bad opinion out of him. Just go after go after go. We were aligned with our thinking. And when I think the way you do, and I agree with what you say, that's how I know you're right.
Well, cool. That's all the comments we have this week. Ray, what have you been watching?
That's all of them. Well, hold on a sec, Sam Proof.
We got to do a thing.
Before we get to all that, we are going to take a quick commercial break. So go ahead. We're going to come back. We're going to, what are we going to do? We're going to talk about what we've been into lately, what we've been playing, what we've been watching, make some suggestions for the people at home. I got some good ones here. And we're going to reveal next week's matchup and guest debater. But we're going to get to all that right after this commercial break.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
All right, we're back.
We're back.
Yeah, one of us will say. All right, Ray, what have you been watching? What have you been playing?
This is great. I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this. But, you know, recently in theaters, a new Final Destination movie came out. What, Final Destination 6? I think they call it Bloodlines. Am I crazy? Does
get
to a one called Bloodlines? Yeah. I've heard really good things about it.
I'm waiting for How to Train Your Dragon Bloodlines. Can't wait for that. That's going to be great.
Oh, that's going to be phenomenal. I really look forward to that one. But people have told me, like, Final Destination movies are good. I've been playing a lot of Final Girl, my favorite solo horror-themed board game. And in the new series they just put out, they did one called Terror from Destiny, which is you're basically fighting, you're in a Final Destination movie. And I tried playing it, and it went hilariously badly for me. I was on top of it the whole time. And something got changed at the end, and one of my victims was counted as being killed, but I didn't know it, and I got killed at the end of the episode. It felt like a Final Destination movie. So those two things combined, I said, I've never seen a Final Destination movie. Not a single one in my life. I didn't really think that was going to be my cup of tea. And so I decided, I want to see 6. So I'm going to go all the way back. I'm going to watch them all in order.
I've
watched 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, I've seen the first 3 movies now, and they're all good. They're insane.
Yeah.
These movies are crazy. Nobody told me how silly and ridiculous these movies were, as they just have these wild Rube Goldberg-esque ways that things interact with each other. And in every single movie, it kills people. And every single movie, they just do a great job of thinking it's going to go one way and then letting you off the hook and then killing you in a totally separate way right afterwards. Like, very quality kills in this horror movie. Fun characters. There are a bunch of actors in here that I recognize from a bunch of other stuff. It's absolutely great. And the people who made these movies are smart making a dumb movie, which makes it very, very fun.
Fair.
Because it's just ridiculous and silly. Absolutely, the human body is treated like it's a Roadrunner cartoon in a lot of these. People just getting smushed and torn apart, and it's wild. I did not know how ridiculously silly these movies are going to be. Anyway, so far, I'm 3 of them deep. Big recommend from me. If you have not gotten on board and you're a fan of the genre, check out a Final Destination. And from what I hear, there's no bad ones in the crew. They're all good in different
impressive ways. Yeah.
So just have a good time with it. Yeah. Like, they don't release a new, unlike like some of these other franchises, like Saw or Hellraiser or any of these. Sorry, those two franchises. But they don't just put them out to put them out. They make sure they got a good one in the hopper, and then they drop it.
All right. Yeah, I've never watched any of those. Maybe I have to rethink this. I'll take a look. Interesting. Anything else?
Well, I want to hear what movies you've been watching, and then I've got a game I've just started playing that I think people would be interested to hear about.
So my family and I, now I've already seen these myself, but my wife decided that the kids were old enough that over the past, I think it took us about 2 weeks, we watched the entirety of the Lord of the Rings trilogy again. So first time for the kids,
right.
But yeah, I got to watch it all again. And we just started The Hobbit, which I never watched that trilogy where we just finished the first one. You know, I read the book and I saw the animated Ralph Bakshi.
Well, the Ralph
movie.
Bakshi one, that's excellent.
Bakshi, yeah, which is fantastic. And then they turned it into, you know, 9 hours of stuff that wasn't, you know, covered
that's
in the animated.
Something.
And it's good. It's like really good because, like, you know, you can only read that book once. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure there's a million people out there who read that thing every year. But like for someone with ADHD and dyslexia, it's a long read. That's one of the shorter books.
It is.
But yeah,
I
really,
tried reading
really
The
cool.
Hobbit back in elementary school when they put it in front of us. And I remember having a very hard time. It made me mad. I'll be honest. The Hobbit book by J.R.R. Tolkien made me mad because it's slow. I really was like, I love battles between orcs and humans and dwarves and dragons, but this is boring to me. How did this guy take fantasy and make it so boring? I'm making a lot of people very mad right now.
Of course.
I'm coming with this Hobbit heat. People didn't love the movie as much as they loved the Lord of the Rings movies.
Oh, yeah.
But that's fine.
Yeah. He spends an entire chapter just naming blades of grass. I'm pretty sure I remember that accurately. I assume that's the second movie.
Outrageous.
But yeah, we've been watching all of that. The kids have been really into it, which is surprising because my youngest,
that's
it's
great.
Hit or miss with her when there's like a lot of tense stuff that happens. But she came out just running around the house swashbuckling. So I guess she took it the right way.
Does your kid do the same thing that my kid does? This is a thing, apparently, the new generation. They're afraid of peril. They're afraid of conflict. It makes them uncomfortable.
Yes.
So whenever my kid is watching a movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever she's watching a movie on like iPad TV, and there's a segment where like somebody is going to get in trouble.
Yes.
Somebody is menacing somebody else.
That's it.
They want to fast forward to the end of the scene.
She runs out of the room. She will leave the room. Yeah. It's, you know, horrible, graphic, bloody battles. She's into it. She's swinging her sword everywhere.
Fine.
Yeah, that's fine. But yeah, if there's even a hint that someone might get in trouble, gone. Out for 10 minutes. We have to do an Alexa announcement to
that's
be
crazy.
Like, it's done. It's over. She's okay now. Dad's not mad.
Yeah, that's not something we ever dealt with in our generation. We saw kids getting in trouble all the time. And yes, it was uncomfortable, but it's weird. Yeah, it's just that moment of peril. I'll see her mood change and she'll be like, can we skip to the end of this scene? And I'll be like, but that's what a movie is.
How will you know how to actually handle the emotional response of this in real life? I don't know.
I don't know. And to be fair, you told me before that you were going to have the family watch Lord of the Rings, so I should remember that. But when you first started that sentence, I think my kids are old enough, I really thought you were going to say, so we're doing Final Destination. Let's go, everybody.
No, clearly we would start with Freddy versus Jason, I think. That would be... go straight
to the... You need
to
see the setup movies before it. Come on.
No, we'll do it as a prequel. We're like, now we explore who these characters are. Crystal Lake.
Well, you know what? Okay. Where's that dramatic retelling of the life of Freddy Krueger as a biopic? But before he became a monster. Honestly,
right.
I think they made that already. And I think it aired on a Cinemax documentary or something. It's not good. I'm also playing a video game that I saw advertised in the Epic Games Store. And I heard a podcast, the What Culture podcast. Those guys are phenomenal. And it was called The Alters. And this game is great. It's a combination of base building, third-person exploration, and like a social simulator all at the same time. And it's phenomenal. You get the base building like XCOM or Fallout Shelter is very reminiscent of. You've got some 3D, a very simple exploration, nothing overly complicated. They do a really good job with the UI, so I always know what's going on. And I'm never like confused as to what to do next. And then the communication, because the point of this game, and this is not a spoiler, this is the purpose of the game, is that you are a guy on a space mission and you are no one in particular, but you're the sole survivor and you don't know why of this space mission, and you need a crew in order to get yourself out of this dangerous situation and get your ship up and running. So this crew ends up being you. They have a machine that can go through your past, change events in your past to create an alternate timeline for yourself. And then somehow with the magic of science, you can clone yourself as that new character who did different things in their timeline and had different skills, different knowledges. One of your character has created technology in his life that doesn't exist in your timeline. Very, very cool. And they constantly are dealing with the ethical ramifications of everything that you're doing. So it's this really, really nice, comfy game to play that occasionally throws something pretty tough at you as far as management goes. And you got to navigate all these different personalities because all these yous are vastly different personality-wise. I have a crew of four clones and myself. I'm never confused as to which one is which. And I absolutely loved this game. Check out The Alters. It is a wonderful game. Highly recommended. It's free on Xbox Game Pass right now, if that is a thing that helps you. Our next matchup, we have, brand new to the show, Dusty Roberts, who himself has a Who Would Win-style TikTok channel with lots of subscribers. You should check him out. He's going to be our special guest. He is going to be real tough. Very difficult to compete against. I'm going to be taking Sub-Zero for Mortal Kombat, Give Me the Video Games, and he is going to take anime's Yujiro Hanma, who, if you don't know, it's from a show called Grappler Baki. That's it. I should have written that down, but for memory. But it's an anime show about a lot of guys who go fighting. Yujiro Hanma is Baki's father and the strongest character in this entire universe by far. This is a guy who can, you know, what people think of Akuma being in the world of Tekken and Street Fighter, that's sort of what Yujiro Hanma is in this world. So I'm going to be taking Sub-Zero against him, and I'm very, very excited for this matchup. This is definitely one that you're going to want to tune in for, and that's going to come out 1 week from today, next Monday, and I hope that you like it. In the meantime, for Sam Proof on all the socials, you can find me on Threads at AlmightyRay316 and Instagram as well. Of course, Who Would Win Show exists. There's a Who Would Win Show. Well, I mean, it exists. We're doing it. It exists as a Facebook group. The Who Would Win Geek News and Battles Facebook group has like 175,000 people in it right now. Not bad. And we have a YouTube channel. I've been putting a lot of clips on there, and Instagram for that as well, for under Who Would Win Show. Obviously, if you want to debate against me, you could send your 1 minute demo, please. 1 minute video is fine, or audio. I don't care. Send me something that shows that you know what you're doing, and send that to whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. I promise personally, I will check out every entry, and we will consider and hopefully reach out to you if you know you sound good and you sound good, right? And also you go to our Patreon, patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, where you can vote in all the polls of who won these battles. You can give comments easily seen that we will put on the air. And we're trying to add more videos and clips as we go. And you're going to get videos of the show before everybody else does. Anyway, for Sam Proof again, this is Ray, the Who Would Win Master. For Who Would Win Masters, we'll see you next time.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Sup, everyone. Brian here, host of the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. It's a trivia-style podcast focusing on TV and movies. Listen in for questions like, what's the name of Michael Scott's screenplay? What do you say to view the Marauder's map? What are Tony Stark's last words to Thanos in Avengers Endgame? And where does Ron Burgundy say he is when he calls the news station sobbing from a phone booth? I've covered The Office, Harry Potter, Marvel, Will Ferrell movies, Lord of the Rings, and more, with even more on the way. So play along to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast anywhere you get podcasts, and stay tuned for more trivia.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.